Thank you for being a part of this amazing course on the book of Ephesians. It's amazing because it's the Word of God, inspired, meant to change our lives. Welcome everyone, especially those watching by whatever media you've tuned in. We're so appreciative that you're part of this course, and may the Lord bless you as well. Now we're in chapter 1 of Ephesians, and we learned in our last session of the immeasurably great power that raised Jesus from the dead, didn't just bring him up out of the tomb, but with him was an entire company of people. Later in Ephesians, Paul describes it as captivity. He takes captivity captive and raises us up into that heavenly realm. And now, verse 21, he is exalted higher than all the ranks of power and principalities, above every ruler and authority, and above every realm of power there is. That implication by that is demonic power, angelic power, and human power, rulers of this world. So above every realm of power, Jesus is gloriously enthroned over every name that is ever praised, not only in this age, but in the age that is about to come. Now that's interesting. What a subtle nuance that there may be powers that we don't know anything about in a coming age. And even above those powers, Jesus will be enthroned forever and ever. So think of Christ Jesus, the one you love. Think of him as the one who carries the full authority of the Father, heaven's darling, the greatest son God has begotten. And here he is, the ruler over everything, raised above every power. He's raised above your problems. He's raised above the family issue that you may struggle with. He's raised above every sickness of your body. He's raised above every church issue. Jesus is exalted above every power there is. So, verse 22, he alone is the leader and source of everything needed in the church. And God has put everything beneath the authority of Jesus Christ and given him the highest rank above all. So here's four amazing things that are foundational for the kingdom of God and for us in knowing our position in Christ. Number one, God raised Jesus from the dead. Isn't that good? Number two, he seated his son, who is still a man. He is flesh and bone. He's not a spirit. He is a human being. Of course, God the Son, but he is, as a man, he's seated at the right hand of God. Number three, he placed all things and every power under Christ's feet, far above every competitor. And fourth, he made Jesus Christ to be the head of all things for the church, which is his body, which takes us to verse 23. In verse 23, it says, we are his church. We are his church. Of course, church is not a place you go to. It's a people that we are. I've heard somebody say, well, I'm the church. No, you're not. It's a called out people. And you're not a people. You're a person. You've got to relate to other people to be saying, well, I'm the church. No, we are the church. That sounds a little bit uppity to me, to say, I'm the church. No, my friend, you're not the church. We are the church together. And as we relate to one another, we function as a called out assembly. Now the ecclesia, we could take a lot of time discussing that Greek word, which is really an outpost. What that could be translated is the church is heaven's outpost. It's heaven's kingdom that has been deposited on the earth. It is a Greek word for those who have been called to assembly to issue governmental decrees for the city or the region or whatever realm of authority they possess. So the ecclesia is a governmental body. It would be equal to our Senate or our body of representatives. It is a people who don't just come together to sing and worship. That's a vital aspect of our gatherings. But we come to influence the world that we're in. We come to bring God's kingdom into that region. But not only are we his church, but for the first time in Ephesians, and he will refer to it many times, but it says we are his body on the earth. We are the body of Christ on the earth. You are not. You're a member of the body. I am not. I'm but a member of that beautiful body of Christ. So Jesus Christ is the only human being with two bodies. He is bodily enthroned right now. But as the governmental head of the church, he is the head of a body. What a beautiful metaphor. What an amazing way to describe our relationship to Christ and our relationship to one another. You don't hurt your own body. That's insanity. And so we would not attack another believer. That is likewise to me insanity. Probably sin would be a better word for that. But we are the body of Christ, which means we complete him, we fill him. He's not just a floating head. He doesn't come to our meetings just as a floating head. He's looking to be attached to a people. He wants to flow through a people. He wants his leadership as the head and his anointing as our prince and our leader. He wants that authority and power and grace and love to pour through us. It's like the anointing of Psalm 133, Aaron's head or beard. It says his head is anointed and it flows down even to the very hem of his robe. And so the anointing of the head flows down to the very least member of the body, to the lowest one of us. So we carry that anointing of our head. Isn't that beautiful? And what does Christ mean, by the way? The anointed one. Christ is not Jesus' last name. It's not how he would sign a check. Jesus Christ. No, it's the anointed one. So what is a Christian? What would the name Christian mean? We're anointed ones. We are those who are like our head. We are anointed with that same anointing of Jesus because the oil has come upon us. He's anointed above all of us, but we are anointed with his anointing. Isn't this wonderful? So imagine if you saw yourself blessed with every blessing, called in love from beginning of time, redeemed, given an inheritance, you are the hope of his glorious inheritance, and the power of God's operating through you, and now you're his anointed body flowing on the earth. You see how Ephesians 1 is a narrative. It's a story, and it's God describing to you who you really are, because you can't walk with God until you know how much you mean to him. And what keeps many people from walking with God is this inferiority and feeling like God's mad at them and they have to do something. You know, I'll double tithe or I'll come to, you know, church 8 days a week or I'll do something really sacrificial. I'll go to the mission field and maybe God will like me then. No, but when you understand you're in him, God can't love you any more than he already does. It's impossible. He will never love you more than he does right now. Impossible. And he could never love you less than how much he loves you right now. So perfect love casts out our fear, which has torment. So we live in a realm of this exquisite, endless, limitless, undiluted love of God. And we're anointed of him. But I want you to look at the end of this verse because I want to unveil a mystery to you that will change your life if you'll listen over the next few minutes. It says that we are his church. We are his body on the earth, and we are the completion of him. We are the completion. This is the word pleroeo, and it means fullness, the overflowing fullness. We are the overflowing fullness of him. We complete him. We are his fullness. He fills all things or every one of us with his presence. The word things is not in the text, and I've actually, since we have done this PowerPoint, I've revised the text, and here's what it really says. We are his body on the earth, and that which fills him, even as he fills it. Let's unwrap this. We are the completion of Christ. What does that mean? You say, well, he doesn't need anything. Let me ask, does a head need a body? Does a vine need a branch? Does a shepherd need sheep? Does a bridegroom need a wife? Yes, he needs us. Why? Because he's chosen to need us. He has chosen to be the head of his body. And we express him, yes, that's true, but more than that, we complete him. There's something about the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, that completes him in his fullness. He completes us, he fills us, he pours into us all that we need, but yet we give back to him the sweetness and the worship and the expression of his will that he needs, that he's found in us. Am I the only one that's like mystified how we just learned that he is exalted in the highest place, and yet he needs us? He wants to be completed. He says to me, complete me, Brian. He says to you, complete me. Come, complete me, my bride. There's something about the body of Christ that is required for the head to be released on the earth. Though he fills all things, yet he needs the church to be complete. We are his glorious inheritance, and let me repeat it. How does it feel to be the love gift the Father gave to his beloved Son? You are the love gift God gave to his Son Jesus. And he will only give the best. He gave you as a gift to Jesus Christ to be his completion. I've heard many of a husband say these words, I'm half a man without my wife. And I would sure say that about my marriage and about what my wife Candace completes and fills and don't get me started on there. I will lose it. Can you imagine Jesus saying something similar? I need you. It was not good for the Son of Man to be alone. So the Father gave a bride to the Son who would not only share his glory, but add to it. It's through Christ's body on the earth that the Father receives his glory. When we say all glory to him, we're saying, I want to complete you. We receive his fullness, and yet we become his fullness at the same time. How does that make you feel? Our heavenly head can say, I need my body. There's a mystery here of the church that completes Christ and expresses him on the earth. What a humbling and a glorious truth. I want you to stand. I just feel led to pray. We're going to conclude this session right now, and I want to just pray over all of those that are here. But before I do, let me pray for those watching. I pray in the name of Jesus that you will reveal by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, let it be known to everyone watching this course, every believer, every tender-hearted, devoted believer, that you are a completion of the body of Christ. You are the completion of the head. You are the bride. You are the one. You are a part of a people that brings fullness to Christ, even as he has brought his fullness to us. And may God bless you.